Welcome back to All Villages. We're really glad you joined us. We've been going through this thing called the Bible, okay? The last several weeks, if you're just joining us, we've been looking at part two of part one being the Old Testament, part two being New Testament, and going through the various letters written to the early church, written to even us today. And we're going through this thing called the Messiah. If you don't have one, let us know. We'd love to get one to you. It's free. It's a gift from the church family to your family, and we hope you'll take us up on it. If you don't have a Bible that you enjoy reading, this would be a great addition to your life and to your faith. But we're going through the book of Hebrews. Quick reminder, last week when we first started it, we talked about early on, we see this, don't get comfortable. Beware of mission drift. Beware of getting, just not even focusing on the mission of God anymore and just kind of going with the flow. It's easy to sometimes just get in that routine. And there's nothing wrong in and of itself of routines, per se. But it's important for us to realize that God has called us to grow up in Him. He's called us to be about what He's about. And He's setting the world to rights. He's restoring it all to Himself. And we get to play a part in that. In our relationships that we have at work or at school, in our families, in our neighborhood. And it's not something that just is going to happen automatically, but He invites us to be about it. And it's crucial that we can remember that Hebrews was written to real people, again, in a real place. It doesn't soften anything. There's times when it just says, man, they really messed up, right? In the Bible, and I appreciate that greatly, and I hope you will too. But one of the things I find in Hebrews is remembering that they were Jewish Christians writing to other Jewish Christians, challenging them, stay faithful. Stay faithful to what God has called you to be and do. Don't lose the faith. Don't get distracted. Beware again of just kind of going with the flow or kind of getting into just a too comfortable routine kind of thing. And again, keep pushing forward, keep growing and so on. So good stuff. Challenging things back then, and we'll see today, it's very challenging for us today. So before we go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your word. We ask that You take it, bless it, and use it in our lives. Help us to know You better, to follow You more faithfully, and to let You be more our Lord, Lord. At times, we can sometimes call You Lord, and then we do our own thing. And we ask for Your forgiveness. We ask that You would renew us, restore us, and help us to live into the goodness of being one of Your children. We give You praise and thanks in Your name. Amen. A couple big themes that I think are just crucial to wrap our minds around when it comes to the letter to the Hebrews is Jesus is a better. He's a what? He's a better high priest, a better hope, a better covenant, a better promise, a better sacrifice, a better possession, a better country, a better resurrection, a better word. He's a better everything when it comes to looking at Hebrews. Hebrews is another way of, this letter is also another way of saying, looking into like an introduction to the Old Testament or part one. So there's going a lot of Old Testament language. It's important for us to stop when we read those, kind of go, okay, and look for those threads, look for those things that are calling us to look back, and what did it mean back then, and why is the writer calling us to hear, and why is this important and stuff. And sometimes we can just go, man, this seems too complicated. I just want to keep it simple. There's nothing wrong. Simple actually is not easy. Simple is hard. Simplistic is easy, and we're not going there. But again, the big picture when it comes to Hebrews, again, how can we be faithful? Remembering Jesus is better than anything else that defines who we are, that helps us have a relationship with Him first and foremost. And it also, another big major theme is to remember that we need to continue to look to Jesus. Calls us to remain faithful, steadfast in our loyalty to Him, that He is King and we are not. And we call Him Lord, and that means saying, yes, Lord. Now, what's the question? It's a reminder for us to continue to put Him first in our lives. Another major theme is the Old Testament isn't finished, or it's unfinished, right? It's unfinished because, listen, it points to a further reality. It talks about a great day of salvation. It talks about how our sin, our brokenness will be dealt with, and yet it's not offered there in the Old Testament. It really doesn't paint what it's going to do or how it's going to be. And then we see in the New Testament, especially in Hebrews, that now God has brought it all together in this Jesus. And so he's trying to help them understand, listen, you've been following faithfully the Old Testament. Great. Now it's time to take this next step. right? It's an easy, obvious, strategic next step. It's going to lead them there. One other final major theme, I should say, for Hebrews is the death of Jesus and what it means for us. That reconciling the universe to God, to himself, setting the world to rights. They have this picture again of Old Testament sacrifices. And these Old Testament sacrifices weren't to punish animals or anything like that. It was to highlight the seriousness of sin. It was to purify that the people so God could dwell with them. And in Jesus, we're purified so he can dwell with us. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less. That is complete love. There's nothing that you know where you can go where God's not already there. So we have to understand that God is so invested in us that he became one of us. And still, Jesus is reigning with him now. And so he is again there. Today, I want to talk to you about what it means to really practice our faith. Now, I don't know about you, but back in several years ago, there was an athlete known as Allen Iverson. He was an NBA athlete. I think he played Georgetown. He was one of the best small guys ever to play the game, hands down. Just ferocious. But when it came to having some challenges, when it came to the coach and the team and so on, sometimes he wasn't always there, you know, giving his 100%. And so he was being asked one time about how he wasn't doing it, and the coach called him out. Like, it was made in the public and everything. And so you can YouTube it. It's easy to find. Google Allen Iverson, or Google just the word practice, and it's just, he has this whole little bit. It is kind of funny in you know, looking back and stuff, but the reality is a lot of times we're like, practice, what do you, like, I'm here at service, what do you mean practice? Practice, what does that look like in a Christian's life? How do we actually live it out? So we're going to look at a text here in a few moments, and I just want to encourage you, it's going to be challenging. I want to encourage you that this is a good, hard truth, but it's important for us to lean into it, to not be afraid of it. It takes courage to read parts and go, ooh, I don't like this part, but apparently God wanted me to know this kind of thing, or he's challenging me personally with this and so on. So don't be discouraged, but know that in this, he's calling us to grow up in him. He's calling us to not just kind of go through the motions, but actually give 100%. Some people say 110. I don't think it's possible. Every time I've done like that, it's like, nope, it's 100%. Anyway, moving on. So, Which brings me to this again, this image I give you week in, week out about being on the anvil of God. That God is wanting us to grow up in him. And so there's times he's got to shape us. There's times he's got to rework us. There's times he's got to burn those impurities away to purify us. There's times he's got to shape us. And again, it's not fun experiences to go through that. And yet, it's the good experience we need. He's a good father, and he's doing that so that we can become the people he knows we want to become. And he knows what's good for us. And so we have to not see this anvil and see this as, oh, I hate this part. Or, God, why can't you just make this work? Why didn't this happen? You know, why couldn't you prevented this or help this, whatever? He's like, I'm being God. Let me be God. You be you. You know, don't worry about carrying that burden around. But when you're being tested or when you're being tried, I want you to remember again that you're in the loving hands of your Father. And he's allowing certain things to happen so that you can learn to trust him, so that you can learn to surrender your heart and your life and areas. It's not easy. It isn't. But it's important. It's really important. And so let's jump into the text, and I'll try to unpack what I mean by this. But it's really crucial that we don't pull away when things get hard, but we lean into it. Okay? So there is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain. We're in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 today. But it's difficult to explain. Now, why? Especially since, now this he's he's giving it to him. Especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Like, how do you like them apples, right? I mean, he is not pulling any punches here right in the beginning. He's giving it to him. He's like, it's because you're really just not really applying yourself. You're kind of just not all there. You know, you haven't really leaned into it. You've been sleeping in class. You haven't been taking notes. You haven't been studying for anything. Like, you're just going through the motions and stuff. And he's like, listen, especially since, this is going to be difficult to talk about it, but It's going to be difficult because you've just been going through it. You haven't really been giving your whole heart to the Lord. Now, I like to say this is that hard truth. This is the hard truth he's wanting them to understand, that they have to get real. They have to get honest. They have to get to maybe get to a point of saying, Lord, I have to realize I haven't really even wanted to grow in you. What do you do when you don't even want to know God more, where you don't think it's that important? I mean, here's the good news. God's grace will meet us wherever we're at. So you don't have to worry about that aspect. And if you're here, that shows me God's wanting to do something in your life, first of all. In addition to that, I think it's important that we don't see this as impossible, right? For us, yeah, we can't go around that. We can't go over it. It's too big for us. The reality, though, is God's not done. And it's important that we get this foundation right, too. When it comes to us knowing him and growing up in him, that we don't become dull, that we don't just not even listen to him, right? No, that we lean into it. I heard this illustration recently. I read this illustration recently, and it really made a lot of sense to me. And it talked about building these skyscrapers, like in New York. And they talked about how these skyscrapers, there were some skyscrapers when they were being built, were like leaning, like sinking and different things. And it's because the pillars and stuff like that they were built on, the foundation stuff, and the pylons they were built on, and how hard and deep they put them wasn't deep enough, or it wasn't solid enough. And you can't ignore it. That's the thing. You can't ignore foundational things. If you ignore it, then it's just a matter of time before things crumble or again fall. And you either have to fix it or you have to scrap it and start over. And it's crucial that you and I know that God is wanting to do something deeper in us. And this text is going to say, man, you guys got to start leaning in this. You guys start doing it. You can't just go through the motions. You have to give 100%. Yes, we're talking practice and are you applying yourself kind of thing. How are you leaning into what God has for you? I challenged you last week to really take everything to the Lord. Again, beware of that mission drift. Beware of kind of just coasting. I had someone reach out to me after the service and say, you know, Pastor, you said to reach out to the Lord, and I did. and he answered my prayer, and it was a very common thing that's happened to people and stuff, but yet it could have gone a different way. We've all made mistakes. I mean, and he said, man, I just call the Lord. Lord, I need your help with this. And here's what Lord did it. And it was like, you said it, and I just want to let you know that thank you for challenging me. I need that. I'm like, thank you for reaching out to the Lord. I mean, that made me so excited and so happy for that person. The reality is you and I need to continually turn those things over. How are you praying for those in your family? How are you praying for those in your circle of influence? Those people that you work with or the people you volunteer with or you go to school with, where has God placed you? How can you be about what God's about by again, leaning in, developing a relationship with the Lord deeper and deeper every day, and then learning to love others that God has placed you around? And it's something that it's a lifetime process, so don't be discouraged. But those pillars, those pylons and stuff that are going deep down, they got to be in deep. And again, for God to continually do the work through you, he's got to do the work in you. Okay, so don't beat yourselves up. But let's go back to the text and see what it says. You have been believers so long now. And again, he's going to give them some hard truth here. So long now that you ought to be teaching others. Okay, he's like, listen, you still shouldn't be at this level. You should be way beyond this. You're in third grade math, and you're in high school. This is not good. Like, you need to be further along. And I think for me, my takeaway from this is that it's impossible to give what you do not have. In other words, if you haven't developed that relationship with the Lord, if you haven't been growing in that, it's impossible to be able to be giving something to someone else that you haven't developed yourself, right? We think of this, like, think financially. You can't give what you don't have. We see that, it makes sense. Same thing in a relationship with the Lord. When it comes to us having a flourishing relationship with the Lord, which I think is what the Lord wants us to have, we have to spend time with the Lord. We have to cut out time of our everyday lives to be present before him. whether it be reading God's word, whether it be to serve others, whether it be to be in prayer, to be still before him, to go to him with our everyday needs, to talk to him, to let him have his way. It's when we have those regular moments that this won't be an issue for us, that we'll be able to continue in where he has us. The text continues. Instead, you should already be past this, right? He says, instead, you need someone to teach you. Teach you again the basic things about God's word. I heard one Christian say it like this, like, I've been a Christian for 22 years of my life, but I think I've been living like my first year over and over again for 22 years. Like, I'm still 1 year old in what I know. And I'm like, oh my goodness, right? And that's crazy to think of that. And you hope that that's not your case. You hope that's not, you know, and it comes to like our lives that we miss it. But the reality is, he's like, listen, we need to grow. What would it look like if we all still walked around like we were 1 year old and yet we're 22? That would not, we would be like, man, there's some unhealth there. Well, why would we think that'd be any different in our relationship with the Lord? It should be growing as well. It shouldn't be something that is ignored. If we only work out like one side of our body, right? But we build that side up. It's going to look really weird. We're going to have some really strong muscles on one side and some really weak muscles on the other. Well, what's going on there? We build the house, right? We build all the strong side on this side, not so much. Of course, that'd be just so weird. And yet we do that a lot of times. We ignore the spiritual lives, or we ignore the emotional health that we need to work through. How do we deal with grief? Do we ignore it? Do we stuff it? How do we deal with conflict? Do we ignore it? Do we pretend? Do we, you know what? I'm not going to let that. No, we got to lean into it. Jesus was one of the most confrontational people you'll ever read about. But he did it in love. The way he did it mattered. How do we confront? Do we confront like what we learned growing up in our household? Or if we learn to confront again in a way that's healthy? And all of us have room to grow. I'll be the first one to admit, right? It's amazing how you ever like said something your parents might have said to you, you said to others, and you're like, where did that come from? It's kind of one of those things. We might have Jesus in our heart, but we have grandpa in our bones kind of thing is what I've heard too. So it's important that we realize that it's a lifetime process. Lean into it. He goes on, and again, he's giving it to him. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. If it's not clear by now, that he's saying, listen, this is not good. You are not in a good place. You should be way past this. If it's not clear now, I don't know what else we can say to make it clear. He wants them to own where they're at, to put it on the map. This is where you're at. This is where you need to get to. How are you going to chart the course to get there? Right? How are you going to do it? We talk about, I say it like this, God is working to grow us up. It's crucial that you and I don't miss that. It's crucial that we lean in to where we're at and continue to grow in him. How are you and I doing that? It doesn't happen automatically. It takes moment by moment of turning to him, trusting in him. And I want to strongly encourage you, don't quit. Keep practicing. Keep leaning into it. The text goes on, says, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. I came out with this, be first, then do. In other words, it's about us and who we're becoming. And then serve out of that becoming. Who is God shaping us to become? And then lean into it. As I was preparing for the annual meeting, for today, later this afternoon, one of the things that I stated in my report, the pastor's report, I said, you know, it's crucial that what we need to be aware of where God's calling us to be and do, right? We don't want to miss it, right? We don't mission drift kind of thing. But I said, what's more important than even what we're doing is having a vision for who God is calling us to become and then serve out of that becoming. Right, I know churches that have great mission statements, great vision statements, but is it about them of who God's shaping them to become, or is it just to accomplish certain tasks? Don't get me wrong, I know they're trying to do good things, but I really, at least in the life of All Villages, I think that's where the Lord has led me. That yes, we're going to work through where God wants us to go and to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. But he's trying to shape us into his people first. And so we can't rush that, and we need to lean into that. The text wraps up here. Solid food is for those who are mature. Right? That's, ooh. Right? He wants us to flourish. He wants us to be able to handle solid food, to rise up in him, to grow in him, to be the people that he's called us to be, to lean into it, to not be afraid, to surrender all, but to say, Lord, I'm not going to just kind of coast through anymore. I need to read this. I need to let this read me. I need to be the person he's called me to be. So he wants us to be mature, who, through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Believe it or not, as we grow in God's goodness and we grow in God's word, we will start to have eyes to see, a set of lenses, to help us discern what's good, what's wrong, what's not healthy for us, what is healthy for us. What is a good, wise choice? What is not a wise choice, if you like that better? And it's crucial for us because how can we get to where God wants to go if we first don't know where we're at? And so the Hebrews writer believes God is not done with them. If he did, he wouldn't have written to him, right? He wouldn't have written to him and say, you're just in a bad place. Good luck. See you later. No, he doesn't say that. He says, listen, you're not where you need to be. You know God wants to take you to a certain place. So why not lean into it? Why not start getting into it? We will see that next week where he calls us and challenges us to persevere, to keep pushing forward, to run the race God has called us to run. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but I'll land it right now here for you. What is your next step? Or sometimes I like to say, what is your next flourishing step? What are you going to do this week to help you take that next step in learning to flourish in your relationship with the Lord? Maybe it's starting off with prayer in the morning. Maybe it's ending your day in prayer. Maybe instead of turning on the internet or the tube or picking up your device, you take some time and be still before the Lord. And you remember who you are in him. You remember what God's called you to be and do. And you say, Lord, help me to become strong in you. Help me to grow up in you, to be mature in you. Give me the solid food that you want me to have by now. And so what's your next step to do that? If you don't know, let us know how we can help you. Maybe it's going to take some conversations. Maybe it's going to take some, hey, we have a Bible study meeting here, or we have a prayer group that's meeting here, or you can serve here. It's amazing how some service helps us with selfishness and struggles there. Prayer helps us maybe stop the work, stop doing, and understanding that the real work is prayer. And we get to have that communion, that oneness of the Lord. Maybe our foundation of who God is and what God's doing, we just haven't read. We don't get it. It doesn't make sense. And we got to work on it. So what's your next step? I want to encourage you in that. Last but not least, I just want to invite you to take a few moments in this time. Pray about that. As we break for a time for singing and prayer, prepare your hearts again. Seek the Lord. Ask him, what has he called you to be and do? This comes right after verse 14 in chapter 5 to chapter 6, verse 1. So again, he's not giving up, right? So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again, right? But let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. I think he's challenging us again to learn to flourish in him moment by moment, that your next step is about discovering how you can deepen, how you can widen, how you can rise up, how you can be able to run the course, not by your strength, but by his strength. Be, then do, right? Flourish in him. It takes moment by moment of his spirit working in us, pouring into us, overflowing us, and helping us. I know you can do it. Help us know how to help you. Okay, let us know, please. Homework this week. We're going to be wrapping up the rest of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. And so hope you'll, again, engage in that and join us into what God has for us by digging in again into God's word. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.